moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local arts, with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's Clinton and Leslie.
Well, good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
It's Sunday again.
It is Sunday.
It is Sunday again, and we are here. I'm, you know,
here to put the fun day into Sunday.
Yes, I like that. You with the rhyming. So, how was your week?
My week was extra crappy.
Okay.
With a dose of FCC on top of it.
Oh, really? Oh my. Oh goodness. Yes, I think everybody's had a crappy week. That's what I've been hearing.
It's just circling the drain down
really
to the alt-right.
It is. That's exactly it.
Down
but
to
you
the
know
the right.
Yeah, and you know, last night was a long night.
So you tell me.
Yes.
So I overheard.
Yes, very, very long night. It was a long night.
And not one of the good long nights.
Not one of the nights where, you know, you go out and you're partying and you're drinking and you're dancing and you're having a good... It was not that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the opposite. Yeah.
Usually, so anyway. See, here's the thing. Most of my nights are opposite of the night when you go out dancing and drinking and all that. But I don't think that's what you mean.
No.
Like my opposite to that is like sitting playing video games, wishing I had enough money for a pizza, petting
my
cat.
Oh, sweetie. Like, oh, precious.
You know, that's what I wanted to grow up and do.
That's it?
I'm living the life.
You are? Living the dream over there, aren't you?
If I'm out of jail and out of debt, then I don't ask for any more. Black man in this country, you cannot set your sights too high.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead
goodness.
And take those dreams, kids, and squash them.
No. Oh.
Dreams are for the white people.
Clinton!
Just letting... More
well, all right.
A community service announcement
from Clinton Johnston.
From Homegrown.
No, not from Homegrown. Don't put that on me. That's all you. That is all you. Well, on that note, I think we should get to our first guest. Because
we should get to our first guest. Let's see. I think
because he is living the dream.
Is he living the dream?
He is living the dream.
What's up,
Jay?
Greetings.
Yes.
You're living the dream, man. You are like blowing up.
Our first guest today, Jay Warr.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you are. Yes, Jay Warr from Vibe Riot. Oh my God. Okay, so first of all, I need to talk to you about Floyd Fest. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, how did Vibe Riot head down to, you know, Floyd, Virginia, and the like? See, I guess Floyd Fest is has a lot more musical variety than I am thinking. Isn't it like old time bluegrass haven?
I mean, mostly that, yes. But they did have some reggae and some. They had Theory Corporation. They had Steel Pulse. So yeah, it seems like a lot more variety than I thought too myself.
Steel Pulse played Floyd Fest?
Yeah, they did. We basically opened up with Steel Pulse and Michael Franti and Spearhead.
Oh!
That's amazing.
What was that like?
It was like, basically, yeah, mind-blowing. I never thought those two would be there, for one. And then for us to be slotted right before that, I kind of figured that out last minute, that's what was happening, so that was pretty amazing.
Well, at least you didn't have time to get nervous.
Say that one more time?
I said, at least you didn't have time to get nervous.
Oh, no, it was like, wake up, go.
So how did you playing Floyd Fest happen? Like, did someone call you, or did you put feelers out? Like, how did that come about?
Well, we put some feelers out, but one of our members had played in a band years back that that played Boy Fest. So he had some connections and kind of knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody and got them all to know us, basically.
Now, are you ever concerned with whether or not there is a fit concerning the acts that you that follow you or the acts that you follow? I mean, because I imagine that, like, you know, Michael Franti, Steel Pulse, you know, not too much of a disconnect between what they're doing and what you're doing, but if they're going to say, okay, you guys are going to follow the Steel Wheels, you guys are going to follow, like, the Seldom Scene, or is there ever a time when you're like, yeah, I don't know if those two styles will go together?
Well, you know what's funny
is... Or is it just all good?
Every time we perform, because we performed 3 times during the festival, and every time we had people coming up to us, thanking us, telling us, thank you for bringing something different. And so I think that they knew what they were doing. They knew we were different, and they wanted something to shake it up. You know what I mean? You've got a bunch of bands on there, and if they all sound the same, it actually starts to get monotonous, I think. And so a lot of people really dug us and really appreciated what we were doing, and they'd never heard anything like what we were doing, you know? So.
Look at you, spreading the music love.
I mean, just in the industry, I think right now, I don't think there are a lot of big bands doing what we're doing. I mean, you might have The Roots.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. You might have The Internet, who I think is comparable. But there's not really a whole lot of big bands out there doing that, so.
And for our
comes across as refreshing.
For our listeners who might not know, can you describe what is Vibe Riot's vibe? I did that. I shouldn't have done that.
I thought of saying that, and then
my head, like, the cheesy light went off, and I just ignored the cheesy light and went on. I just went through with it.
You know, I've struggled for a long time to figure out how to market us, how to call us, how to box this. Because I hate boxes. Most artists hate to be boxed in when you're eclectic like we are. And so I've always been trying to figure out, should I say a hip-hop band? Should I say, you know, alternative band? And it's funny, one of the events we have coming up, I saw us described, I didn't tell them this, but I saw us described as a neo-soul band, and I was dying when I saw that. I was like, really? And so I don't know. I see other bands like called Hip Hop Soul that I think come close to what we do. And so I think that kind of works. Hip Hop Soul works. Alternative is kind of umbrella where I feel like you can almost sound like anything. Mm-hmm. I think still most people might think rock when you say that, but I think that genre is opening up a little bit. Same thing with the term indie band. You know, I feel like those two terms don't quite always give you the right feeling, just because most of the times I see more so rock bands under that umbrella, but I think those are opening up a little bit because of bands like us. So I don't know. I think the closest thing I see out there is, if you want to call it an industry standard, is alternative hip hop or hip hop soul.
Mm. Yeah. So,
but I hate labels. I hate labels. Even when I just said those two words.
Even when you said those, you're like, nah.
You cringed a little bit, didn't you? That's okay. So, but what you guys do is really is catching on. Like I have seen a lot more bands start to use live music infused with rap, like, in the past, 4 or 5 years, like, a lot more have popped up. Why do you think that is? I mean, do you think that the artists are getting tired of rapping over a track and wanted live musicians? Or do you think musicians have decided that that their branching out means not just a singer, but a rapper?
I think a little bit of both. I think hip-hop, right now, hip-hop's the biggest genre in the world. And I think part of that is because it's just undeniable, the delivery, the vocal delivery of hip-hop. Because that's what hip-hop's all about, right?
Yeah.
Other than your boom bap from traditional how rap started and things like that. It's very, very vocal based compared to a lot of these other genres. And so it's kind of taken over, you know, yeah. Everybody wants to rap. And so as these other artists start figuring out that, hey, that vocal delivery works for me in the middle of my set, even if I am really a rock band, or you got big R&B artists that now will basically borderline rap, you know, like yeah. Chris Brown is rapping, Beyonce's rapping, Rihanna's rapping.
Yep.
And maybe they're a little bit more melodic with it. And so they're adding just as much as they're taking from hip hop. And then, you know, you got your Linkin Parks. You got everybody wants to rap these days, you know. And so,
yeah, but
and there's something cool about, you know, when you've got a full band of good musicians rocking with you, and then you're dropping some knowledge through hip hop. So it works.
There you go. Yeah. So you say everyone's rapping these days, but is everyone rapping well? I mean, that's my question, because I think on one level I can imagine people saying, oh, hip hop is more accessible because when you're singing, there's a question like, can you sing? Like, there are people who don't have nice sounding voices or don't have enough of a sense of pitch. I mean, there's like a,
or use auto tune.
But there's also the questions like, there's also questions like, can you actually sing? But I can imagine somebody looking at rap and saying, oh, well, anyone can rap. All you need to do is talk. But that's not true, right? You need to have a sense of flow. You need to have a sense of rhythm. And you need to have, a vocal quality to your voice. Like my voice, I wouldn't think of this as a rapping voice. Who wants, this is like the Poindexter voice.
Oh,
like,
my goodness. Who wants to hear this?
You know?
It's all about delivery, though. So the sound of your voice is going to sound better or worse depending on your delivery style, too. So there's still some tonal qualities, I think, that will set certain rappers apart. When you hear the tone of Q-Tip's voice, you know it instantly. Mm-hmm. You know Jay-Z's tone instantly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of rappers that sound the same to me don't really have an interesting tone, and it doesn't make them necessarily bad, but it's like, okay, who is this? I have no idea.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Do you think
And then
rap-
you've got, like you said, auto-tune being used a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Guys can't really get it right, you know, tonally. They'll get some help with the auto-tune, and so that's become like an industry sound that I think, I don't know, some people love it, some people hate it, you know what I mean? And so
yeah, I think that needs to go away.
Right.
Yeah. We're definitely on the hater side of auto-tune.
It can be a little salt and pepper on top of good food, but when the food's not good, you can't throw any
right?
salt and pepper to change that.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. I hate the fact that that people auto-tune. And because I love going to live concerts, and you know, you pay a lot of money these days to go to a concert, and if you are seeing a band that you have listened to for years, and you see them in concert, and they sound absolutely nothing like the album, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I know what you were doing, but, you know, like I took my daughter a couple of years ago to see the Indigo Girls, because we have been listening to them forever, and finally got a chance to see them. And I was so happy that we're sitting in the audience and every single note, I mean, they had a full orchestra behind them, but still every single note, everything they played, everything sounded just like the album, like their voices, their tone, everything. And I was so happy.
Because, you know, they can actually sing those harmonies.
Because they can actually sing, you know, and that just made me so happy and got like more respect for them as artists, because that's really hard to do. because it's really easy when you're, you know, in the studio and it's 4 a.m. and you've been there all day to just say, can you just fix it? Like, I'm tired. I want to go home. Can you just fix it?
And the studio engineer hates that, just to let you know.
Right, right. I'm sure. Yeah.
He's like, why don't you just do it right to make my life easier?
Right? Can you just sing the note, please?
Exactly.
All right.
I know, because I do a lot of the mixing myself, so you know, when I try to cut corners of myself, I end up chasing my tail.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, you don't do that.
Well, let's hear a little something. Can we hear a little something,
Clinton? Yeah, speaking of that, I think this is a good place to just go to the track right now.
Yes!
Let's do it.
You want to set this up, or do you want to talk about it after? Well, why don't we play it, and then we talk about it after we take the break right after it?
Sounds good.
All right. Here it is, Babylon Falls from Vibe Riot.
I said it before, if it ain't one, love is war. Move forward. Silver spoon, Jason was clever. Negotiate ways to make the world better. When fed up, it was fuel to go to extra. No surprise, the hood breed, hidden treasure. Climbed up the ladder, looking for redemption. Never hesitate, ask the right questions. But cuffed out of cars, violated, arrested. Let freedom ring was only a suggestion. No one's above the law except the enforcer. Got the right funds, maybe you can afford one. Seems like pigmentation is the cure for boredom. Should we blame it on the blind supporters? You might have guessed that this kid didn't make it. Held a higher grade, so cold and vacant. A judge iced the BS, history in the making. Jason got his Juris degree, that's motivation.
Locks down, hands high.
Forever lost, trying to find better. Need that third eye, life's a chess game. We at large, they want us to rock chains. Compromise or fight for redemption. Perfect enemy, got control of your weapon. Brawling cause the ego's bruised, not amused. Found ourselves in a fight we can't lose. What if we swore, no more tribal war? That's so hardcore, emancipate. Raising sharp minds unfold like switchblades. Turntables when we innovate. The strong survive day by day. Strong vertebrae. We birds of prey. Politics confuse it. Truth they lose it. Need more of a music.
Locks down, hands high.
Welcome back to Homegrown. We are 20 minutes past the hour. You're listening to WPVC 94.7, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. And we are talking to Jaywar of Vibe Riot. We just heard the new track, Babylon Falls. So when we were talking earlier, you said that people have described you, have described Vibe Riot as neo-soul or alternative soul or alternative rap. I don't think that's what people were expecting to hear. Like, you are exactly right when you said earlier that all of those labels don't really fit into what you guys sound like. So tell me about Babylon Falls. What, I mean, I think I know what it's about, but what is it about?
Basically, just the first verse came from a story that I heard in the news about a guy who had been actually, I think he was a local politician in New Jersey, or upcoming politician in New Jersey, who had been pulled over late night, locked up and kind of mistreated. And I kind of loosely took his story and tweaked it a little bit, made it into that first verse.
Mm-hmm.
And then second verse is kind of me just talking generalizations and feelings about those kind of happenings that, you know, have been in the news lately, but kind of in a more metaphorical way and not and less specific.
Right. So is that something that, because the last time you were on the show, you were talking about a song that was also socially motivated. Is that a signature for Vibe Riot, or is that a spattering amongst other things?
You know, I kind of write just based on my environment and my current events, and so that was just it was current.
Right.
And I had my pen in my hand, and
right.
those are the thoughts going through my mind. I've had a couple friends say to me, you know, like, is this going to be our thing? Is that, you know, and I can't say yes, I can't say no. I think just whenever something moves me, I mean, a lot of Hapta tracks that I've done recently motivated by experiences I've had relationship-wise. And so I think it's just kind of, I try to make real music. I try to make music about what I'm going through and music, how I am, you
right.
know? And so there's a lot of different sides of me that people know, and that's all going to come out in my music.
And isn't that really the deal with art in general? I mean, as all artists, or at least all artists who are producing works, it's about taking in the world as you perceive it, and then putting it back out there through your own filter and through your own lens and through your own twerking, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. I think I have a view of the world and the way I think things are, and I also have a view of the world the way I think things should be. And you'll find me speaking with those two mindsets throughout all my songs, all my music.
So how long has Vibe Riot been together?
Just over 4 years now.
So you guys have come a long way in 4 years. I mean, that's a lot of moving and shaking. Who is doing all that work? Is that all you?
So I can't take credit for everything. I've got some amazing musicians. And I also have worked here and there with some other producers. Babylon Falls, actually, the original music was done by Stable Roots, who's local here,
mm-hmm.
and also gets around the world, so a lot of people know that name. He gave me the track, and I had my musicians basically interpret it and replay everything. And so it sounds, if you heard both back-to-back, you would kind of hear the relationship,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, but one was very different because we did it all with live instrumentation for the final piece.
Right.
So I want to ask a question that comes all the way from the beginning of our interview that I never got a chance to ask, but it's still, I was going to let it go, but it's still bugging me because I really want to know your opinion on it, which is when we were talking about styles and styles of music, I'm wondering if today when talking about hip hop or talking about black music in general, if the old styles really even apply anymore. The terms like soul or R&B, I hear people say, oh, well, it's new R&B or it's neo soul or it's urban R&B or something like, I wonder if that's just, and even looking at hip hop, when I start listening to different people, the music that's going on behind it is so different. You know, it's not like, oh, that's blues based or, oh, that's classic soul based or, oh, it's like, no, this person is, you know, there's some producer who's pulling from some dance hall track, from here, and then they're inspired by these Japanese drummers that they heard over there, and then there was some Swedish producer who pulled down Finnish folktales and, you know, threw them through a thing and mixed them all together into a reggaeton mix. It's just like, it's like, what that just like, so like, can you even really, I mean seriously, can you even really credibly talk about styles of music these days?
Well, I think music is a melting pot, right? And so you have some purists, right, who maybe still make music, if you want to say, quote-unquote, the way maybe a genre started. But I think listeners and music makers both have become very eclectic. And so there are some who are just imitating whatever seems to be the sound of the time. And, you know, they're just trying to emulate that. And you have others who... you know, they might be influenced by that, or they might not. They might bring their own influences to what maybe they heard a long time ago when the genre started, and they might be working from there and taking their new influences and tweaking and shaping it from that, you know. And so I don't think there's any, like, there's nothing set in stone, and that's the beauty of it, too. You know, sometimes you might hear something that you're like, no, that's not going to work. That's too out there. But then that same mechanism might generate something new and refreshing, you know? And so yeah. I think it's kind of, it's there's no set rules. It's just take it how it comes. And, you know, people are going to hear different things and get attached to different things. But, you know, you kind of find your tribe with as a music maker.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have so many guys I worked with that said, man, we got to listen to what's out on the radio now, and we got to do it like that. And my whole thing was like, that's not me, you know, that's not what I do. That's not how I think. Like, that doesn't work for me. Like, I don't want to do that, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's made a break some relationships over the times, you know? And so now I've got a group of guys who they're very, very well-rounded when it comes to musical backgrounds. But, you know, we use those rules to make something new, not to confine ourselves.
That's awesome. Well, we absolutely love what you guys create. So you've got
Thank you. You've
got two shows coming up. You've got one on the 8th at the Anteroom.
Yeah. I'm bringing down Nina Malia from Baltimore. So you're really going to hear, you know, she's got a big, very big, big voice.
I know.
And so it's going to be different from the last show we did here, where we had Zena from New Orleans, who also has a big voice, but a very different style.
Yeah. You know?
And so it's going to be fun. I like to think of Nina as more kind of like a... she more fits the... Now I'm lost for words.
Welcome to our world.
I'm gonna just leave it at. Maybe she probably brings in that a little bit more of that soul sound to us.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I would describe her as soul, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got another show, the night of the 12th, right? Again at the Anteroom.
Yeah, that's Well, wait a minute. What was the first date you told me? I got confused.
you said, so much.
Okay, the 18th. So yeah.
You are doing so much you can't even keep it straight. You poor thing.
I know. So we got next Saturday, which is the one with Nina.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 19th, down in Roanoke, we're playing. And Deja Tweed's coming up from New Orleans for that one.
Oh, wow. So, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, J-Rod, thank you so much for being on the show again. You know, we love what you do, and you are welcome to come back anytime, man.
I appreciate it. This is my new home.
Yes. All right, well, go enjoy some time with your family, and we will talk to you later, man. Love you.
Love y'all, too.
J-Rod from Vibe Riot, thank you.
Peace.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
He is so freaking talented. Like, I'm just amazed every time I talk to him.
As well you should be. Let's talk about some other talented people coming up.
Yes, let's talk about what are some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running November 26th, the American Shakespeare Center Summer Fall Season, featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, Henry VI Part 3, all by William Shakespeare, or Uncle Willie, as I like to call him, and the modern musical Peter and the Starcatcher, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Wow. Currently running through August 13th, the Addams Family, a new musical at Four County Players. I saw it opening night. It is so fun. Please go see it. Today, watercolorist Tim Wright begins displaying his portraits at the Batesville Market from 1 to 4 for the month of August. Tomorrow, Bent Theater Improv offers their Improv 101 classes at Guerrilla Theater. Go online, sign up. Those classes are awesome, people. August 8th, Charlottesville Writer House Masterclass Series with Jane Friedman. This week, the author website at Indoor Biotechnologies. August 10th, Big Blue Doors True Stories Show. Stories Confidential plays at the Belmont Arts Collective with stories about summertime. August 11th and 12th, live arts production from their acting and production boot camp for rising 3rd through 6th graders. They're doing a Midsummer Night's Dream. Isn't that cute? I just want to see the little fairies. They have wings, right? Please tell me they have wings. August 12th, also the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center Trailblazer Tour Guides lead at 11 o'clock a tour of Yolanda Cole Jones's photography exhibit, Private Spaces. And if you don't know about that, she was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Go listen to a podcast, people. August 13th, Joel Jones leads Big Blue Doors. Six session course, Telling True Stories, teaching you how to find and tell true stories from your life. This event is the first of 6 classes at the McGuffey Art Center. August 14th through 15th, auditions for Arthur Miller's The Crucible at Four County Players. August 15th, Charlottesville Writer House Masterclass Series, the email newsletter at Indoor Biotechnologies. And for your musical selections this week.
This afternoon, acoustic alternative folk and pop with Cat Summers at Walt Wolf Brewery at 2 p.m. Also this afternoon, fingerstyle blues and old time with Bill Adams and Albemarle Cider Works, 2:30 p.m. Callie Garrett and Gary Green at Glasshouse Winery at 3:30 p.m. And tonight, Charlottesville's Rolling Stones cover band Cherry Red plays Dirty Nellies. It's also the singer-songwriter bash at the Front Porch Roots Music School featuring our man, Brady Earnhardt, tonight. On August 9th, catch post-traditional blues, grass, and old-time-inspired rootsy originals with Rabbit Alley at the Shabeen Pub and Bry. Country and classic rock covers with Uncle Billy at Three Notch Brewing Company and Timeless Band at Dirty Nellie's. On August 10th, it's singer-songwriter Matthew McAllister at Stinson Vineyards. On the 11th, it's the Seaville Series, the open mic at the Jefferson School African-American Heritage Center, hosted by Ike Anderson and Shelby Edwards.
I'll be performing at that one.
With music by DJ Double and featured artist Tawiko McFly. On August 11th, also the 90s Blue Collar Rockers, the Believers, reunite to play Fridays After 5 at the Sprint Pavilion. Also, reggae lovers and parrot heads should check out the Full Moon Saloon Band at Glasshouse Winery. Rock and soulful covers with John Marshall Mays at the Blue Mountain Barrel House, Freight Paid and Gene Hate Sunrise at the Prairie Nada Farm Brewery, and Ethan Liscombe and Rikoshi at This Hollow Machine. On the 12th, it's the Currys at Jefferson Vineyards, Eric Franson and Travis Elliott at Fellini's, the Pollocks at Batesville Market, and Jersey Jam with DJW at the Ante Room. Every Monday, of course, it's the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also, Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, have a weekly open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church every Tuesday. So just
at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Every Wednesday, it's the open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery, the Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9. Josh Mayo hosting the open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, and the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And if you haven't blown yourself out on Wednesday, on Thursday, John Durst. At Miller's, the John Durst Quintet, because every once in a while, I'm going to say it,
go.
You just got to come down to Durst.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Shorty, she was
so high.
That's a lot of stuff.
Hold on, we got a drop.
This is Daniel Neal.
And I'm Ryan Sheehy.
We're from the 2016 production of Nice Work If You Can Get It at Live Arts.
And you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
36 minutes past the hour, you're listening to Homegrown, of course. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Sean McCord. His guest is going to be Lloyd Snook, talking about the First Amendment and unpopular speech, and our own DVS one, David Von Strong.
Oh, my goodness.
Talking about Black Lives. Apparently, they matter.
They do. You know, it's a new thing. We're trying it. We're trying it.
I don't think it's going to catch on,
well,
personally.
You know, hope springs eternal, they say.
This country so loves matter-free Black lives. I don't know.
We will make it catch on, okay? It'll be the new thing. It should be the new thing, Clinton.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I say, yes.
Let's see what our guest says.
Yes. What does our next guest say? Oh,
no. Not necessarily about this. Don't worry. Not necessarily about this topic. You can say something about something.
I can still chime in on that. No,
Ladies and gentlemen, the illustrious.
Ooh.
Scott Dunn.
God, it's a big word for me. I don't know about that one.
Well, you are. I mean, you know, you're kind of a, not kind of, you are a staple in Charlottesville Theater.
Aww.
So, you know.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that's...
I try.
That's completely good to say. Yes, illustrious,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So you are here to talk to us about Locally Sourced.
Locally Sourced, yes. Which is coming up, God, in about 10 days or so.
Holy crap.
Yeah. No, we're getting there.
That's really soon there, Scott.
We're almost there. Yeah.
So what is Locally Sourced? Tell people about it.
So Locally Sourced is primarily, this is the next iteration of, I guess, what we in the Playwrights Lab at Live Arts get to do, which is sort of, in many respects, self-produce our own work in the summer. So this is the third year in a row. We had a bit of a break. We used to do something called Summer Shorts.
Mm-hmm.
For a few years, which was all just 10-minute plays. We've kind of expanded a little bit, and these are 10, it can be up to 40 minutes at length, but the longest ones we have this year are maybe 20. We have two or three that are about 20 minutes long, and the other two are about 10, 15. So it's all shorter works, and we're up in the Founders Theater. We run the 17th through the 20th of August, so it's just a long run, which is just fine for a summer show. and there are... It gives playwrights from the lab, and it's lab members exclusively. So you have to be an active member of the Playwrights Lab, which means you have to come to lab meetings so often within a certain period of time. And there's a selection committee that we set up. They choose the plays, and then we get to it, really. We had auditions back in early June, and I've just been trying to roll through ever since. But everybody's in rehearsal right now. Everybody's coming down to the wire. We have 1 week of rehearsal left before Tech, which starts next Sunday, and then we push it through. So, yeah.
It's interesting. You're talking about having to be an active member of the Playwrights Lab and have to have been coming there for a time. Suddenly I had this image of people walking into the lab working to get their 1 month chip. It's
right.
Like, hello,
right.
My name is Frank. And I am a playwright.
And I'm a playwright.
Hello, Frank.
Yes. So, we should institute that. That'd be fun.
That would be fun, yes.
I just want to see what Alex is going to do with that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. the drollest one of them all.
Yes.
So take a moment to talk about the Playwrights Lab, because although I think there are many people who have heard of Live Arts,
mm-hmm.
I think that on top of that, there might not be a lot of people who know about the Playwrights Lab at Live Arts.
Right. And I don't remember when exactly it began.
It's been going for a while.
For quite a long time.
Time.
It was when John Gibson was the artistic director is when it started. And I moved here in 2004, and it was already meeting for quite a few years, I think, at that point. And so we meet every first and third Mondays of the month, unless we've got a holiday, sometimes a third Monday if there's a fifth Monday of a month. And it's an open forum. You can just walk in and say, hello, I've never written a play in my life, or I've written 1,000 and I want to see what this group is like. So everybody's welcome to come in, sit in, we just bring our bring in our own work and we offer feedback to each other. And so, but you do, like, after we ask new people, like, if you've been in for three meetings, then you can get yourself on the calendar. And I run the group along with Kate Monahan. She's the other facilitator of the group. She has two plays in Locally Sourced this year because she's an overachiever.
Because she's awesome.
And she's amazing. Yes. So she has two up on the docket this year. And so we've been running the lab for this calendar year so far. And so, yeah, we've got a summer. We usually take a summer hiatus, and it works well to coincide with this. So, but yeah, if you can have just a passing interest in playwriting, or you can have a very deep interest and you just want to be part of a group. And then you get a sense of who we are and what we offer, what our dynamic is. And we take all of them. We take short plays, long, anything at
musicals.
All. Musicals do occur from time to time.
Yes.
Not very often, but yeah, every so often we'll get one. It's like, oh, good. There's tracks involved.
Yay!
But it's fun because you don't often get people singing in lab.
Exactly.
Alex does not burst into song you would expect. Not so much. Not so much.
I've been in rehearsal. I haven't been able to come, but that depresses me. He has such a lovely voice.
Yeah.
So does that actually work, having such a wide range of experience? Like, I can see somebody who's really inexperienced walking in and becoming very intimidated, mm-hmm. with someone who has, you know, written a whole bunch of plays and produced a whole bunch of plays.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I can see somebody who's really, really experienced walking in and hearing somebody who is less experienced commenting on their plays and saying, well, what are you saying about my plays?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too, is we usually, that's that three meeting rule, is you come in and you say, and just to see what the room does, I mean, see what our dynamic is. And if it's just not a room that's fit for you, that's fine. But, and we do have, you know, when new people walk in, I feel it's my responsibility as one of the facilitators to try to be like, to be as welcoming as possible and just say, just give us a chance and we're going to give you a chance. And, you know, we understand if it doesn't feel right for you. We try not to be intimidating, but a lot of us have been there for a long time. So there's already a dynamic in place. It's like walking into a dysfunctional family,
yes.
for dinner, mm-hmm. being the guest and just like, oh God, what's going to happen right now?
It's like,
and
then so we've got the grumpy uncle in the, yes. in the corner.
Alex again. Alex is not, it's not really, we're
no,
picking
it's
on him this morning. That's not really true.
I'm loving how Alex has become the mascot.
He kind of has, yes.
Of this interview.
If only he's not listening to this, then we're in the clear.
Alex never listens to our show.
We kid because we love
Alex. We do very much. But no, it is like that. I mean, yeah, it's like that. Any writing group, creative group at all is going to be like that. So, but we, it's really, I've found, it's what's been impressive to me in the last few years, especially, is like the level of discourse in the room has really elevated, and the number of people who have kind of, everyone's experience is built up by everyone else's. So,
right.
And especially with Locally Sourced, last year was the first year of this iteration. Here's the second year now. The lab is supposed to be, you know, a supportive group. It's not something where you don't pay dues. You're not beholden to anything. It's just whatever your dedication is, what your commitment is. And that's what this show is. And so we have weekly production meetings. Everybody meets so we can understand where everybody else is. And we can get a sense, especially from a production standpoint, of who needs what on stage? Like,
right.
What are the set pieces? We have no budget for this show,
right.
So what can we do? You need a couch? You need a couch? Everybody's using the same couch.
Right.
That's what's happening. Four shows need a couch? That's awesome. So we're done. We have one solid set piece, and that's great. Then we just have to lug the damn thing downstairs and then deal with that headache.
But, yes. So you're the production manager,
yes.
for this one.
Yes.
And you've done that before.
I was production manager last year.
Okay.
And I was production manager 2 years ago when it was called, it was staged readings.
Right.
So we had audiences, which were great. It was just two nights.
Yeah.
And we, And that was great, too, because anytime you get a play in front of people, you understand, you start to understand where it works and where it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's just the next step and the essential next step, as you know, as Clinton knows, having also written plays, you know, you don't quite know what you have until you have it in front of people.
Right.
And so it's great. It was great to have an audience 2 years ago, but now we get all of it. Now
yeah.
we get the lights and the sound, and I'm letting our lighting designer in the room later on today so she can start hanging the space.
Right.
We've got rehearsals all afternoon and evening. So, and then, so yeah, so this is yet another year for me, which I'm happy to do. And, it's fun to get to help people to see their work come up to stage.
Yeah.
So
we're going to pay some bills.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
All right.
On Homegrown. And here we are back at Homegrown. We are 48 minutes past the hour. And you are listening to 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And we are here
progressive
talking.
Voice.
And we are here talking with Scott Dunn from the Live Arts Playwrights Lab, talking about locally sourced. So before the break, we were talking about you being the production manager. For those people out there who don't know what that is, what is a production manager, Scott?
It entails pretty much all the things in terms of and getting a show on its feet.
All the things.
Nearly so. And so this production intends, it's great that we have, I mean, it's summertime at Live Arts, so they have their hands full with camps, of course. So
right.
What we have is to have an opportunity to put shows on is a luxury. So we're really happy for that. But we're relatively self-contained.
Right. You know,
we have the support, we have access to things in some regard, but we have no budget, so we're just doing it. So from my end of things, partly as a facilitator, but partly because I want to do the job, is I recruited the 5 members of the selection committee. I accepted the submissions from the playwrights and forwarded them on.
Mm-hmm.
And so much part of my job is setting and dictating the timetable for when selection occurs, getting information to the house to help with marketing, to say, here are the plays we have for auditions. Here's the plays we have for, the actual production itself.
Right.
And then helping, but in part of my job, it also consists, the artistic side is helping playwrights find people they need to find, because essentially each playwright is a producer of their own play.
Right.
So I help them find a director if they need, after auditions, if we're still missing, like
right.
you didn't see who you needed to see, you need people. Okay. Where can we go? Who do we ask? What's going on?
Yeah.
So, and then, recruiting a stage manager, recruiting a lighting designer, our stage manager, second year in a row is Kathleen Mueller, who's amazing.
Love her.
If you can't,
yeah.
I want to do all the shows with Kathleen.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And then Kim Schwainer is going to hang lights this afternoon.
Oh my God.
So
yay.
She had to hang lights for Adam's Family, and now she can belong to us and
yes.
get the space ready.
Yeah.
I still need to find a soundboard operator. That's my next recruitment.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you got some time in the next,
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. It's not a huge commitment. It's fine.
It's a few nights. That's all it is. Pushing some buttons. That's it.
That's it. And so, but in the next couple weeks, you know, primarily, I run production meetings. I make sure, you know, we know what playwrights need, what producers need. They tend to have to find their own props for this. They provide their own costumes. So a lot of that stuff is self-contained within each show, but I make sure all of that information comes to the group at large, especially to Kathleen and I, so we know you're providing this stuff. You need help finding this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what we're also doing. And like also watching rehearsals a little more often this year than I was able to last year. And tonight I'm filling in for an actor at rehearsal because he's out of the country. And then tomorrow I get to see sort of a proof of concept of what one of the plays wants to do, that's called The People versus William Shakespeare by Nathan Andereth. And Megan Hillary is directing that.
Of course, Nathan would write that.
It's so funny that you and I had the exact same reaction.
I know, because we both know Nathan.
Of course.
Of course Nathan wrote that.
For those who want to know what that reaction was, it was a slow pan of each of them to look at each other with a very knowing glare.
A little eye roll at the end, yes.
But But in it's going to be fun because in this, Megan has so much movement going on with the three witches that are in the play, and then it is basically a trial between between Ophelia and Iago, and Shakespeare's on stage, and Shakespeare's played by Mackie Bablette.
Oh, and I love Mackie.
He's in another show as well. But so Ophelia is supposed to emerge on stage as if just coming out of the water. So it is...
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, me, like, being a theater person, like, passionately, like, oh, my God, that's going to be cool. And then as a stage manager, you're like, are you kidding me?
You want water all over the stage?
You want to dunk? How?
Your actor. And right. Then walk them on the... And how do we clean that up for the next show? I'm just saying. So, you know, there's a safety issue, people.
I also have to determine the order of plays, and this will be one of those things that says, all right, is Ophelia dunked first? Is she in the middle?
Is she at the end?
I want to know. I got to figure that out. Is she dunked backstage? Is she going to be...
How much is she dunked? Like, can we just tell she's wet? Or is she, like, dripping? No. Like, what?
They want her dripping.
Oh, my God.
So it's, again, could be really cool.
Yeah.
Could be really logistically challenging.
Right.
So that's also part of my job. And then determine, like, yeah, we want to scale that back. Or, okay, we can work with this. We can make this happen.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's... I do have to be, like, in some ways, I got to say, no, I can't do this.
You have to be the mean daddy.
I do sometimes have to be the mean daddy and say, no, we can't do that. I'm sorry. I want to. I can't do it for this show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we'll see what that looks like. That's going to be tomorrow night. That's going to be fun. I'm excited to see it.
I can't wait. Now I seriously cannot wait to see. So how many plays are in Local Resources?
There are five.
Okay.
There are five. So
is that a little less than last year?
I think we had six last year.
Okay.
And we had seven to start. It was going to be a long evening, but I thought we could make it work. And we've just had a couple shows kind of succumb to the curse of summer.
Yeah.
Where it is, you know, as you know, theater in Charlottesville area, it's, you know, it's a lot of vacations, a lot of time away. It is a lot of people who just aren't available and can't make the commitment. And so, unfortunately, we've had a couple shows succumb to that.
Yeah.
So we had to cut them. But we're going to have a nice, slick evening coming in, probably just under 2 hours of theater. So it should move very well. We have five. We have Nathan's play. We have two plays by Kate Monahan. They're called Gamer and Doctor Doctor. Alex is directing Doctor Doctor.
Oh, God.
And that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
We have Victory Garden, which was written and directed by Peter Gunter. And then,
of course,
and then there's a fifth, and I'm blanking on what that was. It's not one of mine, I can easily say.
You've got a lot of things in your head to keep straight. We're going to forgive you for that.
One or two. That Feathery Thing by Phyllis Koshiris, and Barbara Roberts is directing that one.
Okay.
So that's what we've got. That's our lineup this year.
That sounds really cool. I don't know if you know this, but Kate and I have been talking about getting together and writing a play together.
Oh, no, she didn't? No, I don't know that.
Yes.
That sounds good.
Yes. We're supposed to start that, like, end after Jitney opens. I can't think about anything until after Jitney opens.
That's fair. Absolutely.
But, yeah, so she and I have been, plotting.
We've been
plotting and scheming.
Oh, good. That's great. No, that's a collaboration I'd be happy to see.
I know, right?
Yeah, you guys have a story in mind already?
We do. We have a story in mind. We're going to do, it's going to be loosely based on the life story of the former slave who worked building UVA and worked as like a janitor there.
Oh, okay. Oh,
for
I think
years
she has,
and years.
Who's... Well, one of you has told me about this, and it does sound really cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're very, very excited.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. That sounds great.
All right. Well, Scott, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For coming and talking to us about this.
Anytime.
So give us the dates again, and how do people get tickets?
So the Live Arts website, tickets are on sale. They're $10 a piece. You can always call Daryl.
Daryl loves to hear from everybody.
He does.
What you choose to call him, we're not going to say.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's up to y'all.
But he will take care of you. And so whether you ask for it or not,
he will take care of you.
So, they're $10 a piece. We run the 17th through the 20th. Mm-hmm. The shows on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday are at 7 o'clock. The Sunday show is at 2 o'clock.
Awesome. All right, everybody, go get your tickets for Locally Sourced.
Please.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Whew.
All right. 57 minutes past the hour.
That was a, that, you know, we did a lot of art today, Glinton.
We tried.
We talked a lot of art today.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, there was music.
And we talked a lot of Alex, too.
He will be so thrilled to know that he was on the tip of our tongue.
You have a much more hopeful view of what
happened. Really? No, seriously.
Optimistic. You know, there you go. Much more optimistic view of what
you think. Seriously. You know, Alex presents as kind of the grumpy grandpa, but he is such a... He's a teddy bear. He is so adorable.
He's the grumpy teddy bear.
He presents that way, I say. But in actuality, he is a very sweet and very loving human being.
Well, let's hope he's not litigious.
Please, he scared me. He wouldn't dare. But what do we have coming up next, Clinton?
Oh, what we have coming up next.
Yes.
What we have coming up next is us saying...
Are we saying goodbye?
Yes, we are.
Aw. Well, it was fun.
What we have is us saying goodbye. This has been Homegrown. Your show about local arts here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We want to thank our guests, Jay Warr from Vibe Riot and Scott Dunn from Live Arts Playwrights Lab. Coming up next, it's the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Sean the Man McCord. They're going to be talking to Lloyd Snook about the First Amendment and unpopular speech. And they're also going to be talking to David Von Strong, the DVS1, our own very, very loved David Von Strong. And he's going to be talking about, I think, maybe how black lives should matter, but don't. All right. Thank you very much, Leslie. David, we're thinking of you. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.